is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. So the Red Sox are down, injured, humiliated, and possibly on the brink of a truly historic collapse that would keep them out of the postseason. And yet, late last night, the team showed evidence that it still has, weak as it might be, a pulse.
Ellsbury hits one in the air out towards right center field. Granderson going back at the wall, and it's gone into the bullpen. Jacoby Ellsbury hits a three-run home run in the 14th inning on a night when the Red Sox desperately need a win.
Well, it took 14 innings and more than 5 hours, but that three-run homer by Jacoby Ellsbury beat the Yankees and allowed the Sox to split a doubleheader and hold on to a fragile one-game lead over Tampa Bay in the quest for the playoffs, with just 3 games left to play in the regular season.
But here's the question. What are we to make of this team? Now, Meghna, I want to ask you, I know you weren't weaned on Red Sox lore, but I'm going to say a name to you and play you a piece of tape and then ask for your response, okay?
Okay.
Okay, here goes. The name is Bucky Dent.
Hit high in the air to left field. Going to the corner, Yastrzemski. It's over the wall. It's a home run for Bucky Dent. Yankees get the lead 3-2, and it just clears the
left. Oh, my God. Yastrzemski looking up. Home run, Bucky Dent. What does that do to you, Meghna, to listen to that?
Well, I'll be honest, it doesn't do much, but I'm going to let listeners know that there are people in the studio who winced when they heard that, and I don't know why.
I was one of them. I got to say, it still hurts me to hear that. That Bucky Dent home run capped an historic collapse for the Red Sox. It eliminated them from the postseason. It was one of the worst of many disappointments over many, many decades of heartbreak and futility. The curse of the Bombino, 86 years without a World Series, a heartbreaking loss in 86, 2003. Oh, the pain. It went on and on. But then everything changed in 2004.
Back to full. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champions.
Okay, my heart still soars at that moment because I know what that is. That was when the Sox won the World Series in 2004. And I do remember it because, honestly, Anthony, I felt like that's the night I became a true Bostonian. I was at a bar celebrating with champagne and friends. And then a few days later on the Esplanade, cheering as the Sox went by in their duck boat victory parade. And what was great is that it wasn't all that long, just 3 years until they won it again.
That's right. Again in 2007. So you'd think the monkey is off our back. But here we are again. Think of it. The Sox, one of the richest and most talented teams in the game. They were in first place for most of the summer, cruising toward the postseason. And then came this September collapse. And this is affecting people in the region in interesting and different ways. For people like me of a certain age, we're thinking, here we are again. This is so familiar. We're doomed. We're cursed. How could this be? But for people younger, say my 15-year-old daughter, she's only known the Red Sox as winners. So she's suddenly getting an education in this team's dark and painful history.
And I do also want to say, like, what about the money? The Sox are, what, the richest team? Or at least they have the highest payroll in baseball?
The third richest in baseball.
And they're being walloped by one of the poorest?
I know. It almost seems unseemly, doesn't it, to root for the huge financial muscle of Boston and its $161 million payroll against those scrappy Tampa Bay Rays with a payroll that's just a quarter of that. So there's a lot to chew on here, and that's what we're going to do now. And listeners, we want you involved. What do you make of this Red Sox team? What's the psychology that allows this kind of collapse to happen in baseball? Have you been following it? Is this the Red Sox that we're all familiar with? Give us a call, 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. We're putting Red Sox Nation on the couch here and considering the September swoon. And joining us now in the studio, Thomas Whalen. He's an associate professor of social sciences at Boston University and the author of When the Red Sox Ruled Baseball's First Dynasty. And Tom Whalen, great to have you.
My pleasure.
Thanks for being in here. Also on the line is Tim McCarney. He's one of the creators and writers for the blog SurvivingGrady.com. Tim McCarney, good to have you back on Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
So let me start with both of you, and Thomas Whalen, I'll start with you. What do you make of this, of collapse? What's your first impression?
Deja vu all over again.
Well, there you have it, yeah.
Childhood memories coming back, and, you know, I really need to go on a couch right at this point. But, you know, I think of it also as, well, get over yourself and get a life, because you know, so many years was spent as a youth, twisting my hands over how can they blow it again. But since they've won in 2004 and 2007, even if they blow it this year, it's no big deal. Mm. We've already climbed the mountain. We've seen victory, and, you know, I can move on with myself.
It's funny. I think Meghna heard me say this not too long ago, and a couple of Fridays ago. I was trying to make the case, exactly as you just made, that I don't really care because we've won it now. We can go through this pain, and it's not such a big deal. But if I'm being completely honest, that was a little bit of an act because I find I do care. I find I do care. Tim McCarney, I was up till 11:45 or whatever it was last night watching that game, and I allowed myself to start believing, well, maybe there is a pulse. Maybe they can do something. What do you think?
I think if we learned anything at all from 2004 and to some degree 2007, it is that anything can happen. I was not quite old enough to remember the 1978 clip that you played earlier in the program, but I sort of, my coming of age, if you will, my baptism into misery came during the 1986 World Series. And then again, perhaps more alarmingly, in the 2003 ALCS, the infamous Grady Little show.
But for which your blog is named, correct?
That was the, you can blame Grady Little for not only the collapse, but also the start of the surviving Grady blog. But I think after that, after 2004 was the equivalent for a Red Sox fan of Bigfoot, a UFO, and Jimmy Hoffa all showing up for dinner at your house. It was the thing that was never supposed to happen, and we saw it. So while it still does upset me to see the Red Sox lose, particularly a year like this in which expectations were so high out of the gate, 2004, we cling to that and say anything can happen. Get into the postseason, then anything can happen.
Well, a couple of things strike me about this whole story. One is, putting aside whether or not you're a fan of the Red Sox or not, it points to the complexity, doesn't it, Tom Whalen, mm-hmm. of baseball. I mean, there's so many variables. It's such a deeply psychological game. Making sense of how a collection of hugely, supremely talented athletes can suddenly go from ruling a season to losing, what, 15 out of 20 games, it boggles the mind. But it's sort of what I love about baseball as well.
Right, it's that unexpected nature, and it's really a game of inches. But yeah. In the Red Sox's case, I mean, it's just miscalculation on management part. I mean, they put together a team from spring training. They signed Carl Crawford and they have Lackey on board. And, you know, this team just did not have the chemistry of, say, the 2004 and 2007 editions. Mm-hmm. And basically, what we see here is kind of a mishmash of different components. And this reminds me of the New York Yankees from the 1980s. You know, they felt that when push comes to shove, they can always buy the best talent from the market and go to the World Series. Well, it didn't work for them until the 1990s when they decided, let's develop from within everyday players. And what's scary about the Red Sox situation is they really don't have anyone on the farm to develop, to bring up on an everyday basis. And, you know, they've been trying to patch quilt it together with all these big name free agent signings. Mm. It's just not happening.
So, Tim, do you agree with that analysis that Tom Whalen just laid out? This idea that we've sort of followed the Yankees down this dangerous route of paying big, big bucks for past performance?
I do agree with what he said, and I think there is a lot to be said for the team chemistry. 2004, we were sort of the idiots, if you will. It was the folks who just somehow defied expectations. Don't let us win tonight. How are they doing it? We literally hung on every pitch, every inning, and somehow they did it. This year, is it a likable crew, as likable as 2004? It seems like they might have thought more about the talent that was available rather than how they might all mesh together in the clubhouse or on the field. But as I said, you get to October, who knows what happens? That's where chemistry can be made.
Well, listeners, we're talking with Tom Whalen and Tim McCarney about the Red Sox and this current September collapse, and we're wondering what you're making of this, or do you feel like you need to go on the couch and have a little bit of therapy? If you do, here's your chance. Give us a call, 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Let's take some calls. Mark is calling from Pawtucket, Rhode Island. Hi, Mark.
Hello. I think for me, a diehard Red Sox fan, I would say that I'm kind of more comfortable with them losing. Obviously, I want them to win. I love the team. You know, again, 86 was my baptism into misery. But after 04 and 07, every once in a while I have to pinch myself to realize that they won. And after that, where's my identity as a baseball fan? I don't want to be the evil empire that was the Yankees. And
Mark, it's a great comment, and in fact, I remember a lot of the writing in 2004 after the Red Sox won. One of the questions, Tom, that was being asked is, how is this region going to define itself? No longer as the team that embraces the lovable losers. I mean, you know, we're part of an evil empire of our own.
Well, we've lost a lot of our innocence, and we have become what we've hated. And it's in many ways, the Red Sox are a victims of the dreaded word professionalism. Mm. General manager Theo Epstein, he wanted to get rid of all the characters from 2004. And that
Kevin Millar.
Right, and Johnny Damon left not too long after that. Sure. And now they have all these upright individuals, I suppose. And I think what they really resemble are men in gray flannel suits. Mm. And that's not baseball. That's not what brought me as a young fan to like go to Fenway Park and, you know, collect baseball cards and whatnot. And that's why I think the Red Sox, even though they might blow it this year, I think you're going to get more of a collective shrug from the fans, because we have, you know, the Patriots to root for, and hopefully the Celtics will get back, and the Bruins just far outclass the Red Sox in terms of interest and excitement.
As being a sort of scruffy band of lovable overachievers. Let me ask you, Tim McCarney, where does this collapse? And again, the season's not over. They can still back their way into the playoffs. But where does this collapse rank in the team's long history?
I think if we were still starved for a World Series title, I think it would resonate a lot more. It would be more of a gut punch, perhaps even on a level of 2003, which really almost brought me to my knees. It was probably the closest I've ever come to having to be either professionally medicated or something to that effect.
And Tim, really forgive me, just for our listeners who may not remember or weren't watching TV that night, you're talking about this was a single game. This came down to the final game with the New York Yankees for the pennant, right? And Grady Little left Pedro Martinez in inning after inning. He had a 3-run lead, and then just like that, the Yankees took it away, won, and the Red Sox lost the pennant.
It was excruciating and painful. And I think if we hadn't experienced the World Series victories in 2004 and 2007, this would probably be a little bit tougher to digest. A lot of expectations, I think the 98% of all professional sports writers, I believe, pegged the Red Sox to either win or be in the World Series at the end of this year. And even though we sort of lived and died on expectations up until 2004, this year the buildup was unrivaled, unparalleled to anything I can recall. I think it would have been a lot harder did we not have a couple of World Series titles to fall back on.
All right, well, let's take a few more calls. We've got a lot of folks lined up to get on the show. Carrie is calling from Wellesley. Hi, Carrie.
Hi. I just wanted to say I'm a transplanted Red Sox fan. I grew up in Houston with the Houston Astros, and I am just I just don't know what happened to the power of positive thinking. I think Red Sox fans have gotten a little spoiled.
Carrie, I want to say something to you. Welcome to New England.
I'm very happy to be here. And trust me, oh my gosh, we went through the whole thing with the Houston Oilers and all of that. So, but back to the Red Sox, the power of positive thinking, we're not 15 games up on Tampa Bay, but we're one game up. And I just think the power of positive thinking goes a long way. I got my fuzzy dice and put them on my rearview mirror. I bet my Boston Red Sox fuzzy dice, and I have all these little superstitions, and I think they're slumping right before they're going to peak in the playoffs.
Well, I think it's a great scenario to put out there, Carrie. We're grateful to you. And Tom and Tim, let me ask you about that. You know, I was doing a little bit of research, and I recalled the 2000 Yankees lost 15 of their last 18 games. They nearly blew a 9-game lead. They just crept into the playoffs, regrouped, went on to win it all, including the World Series.
Right, and I think that just shows anything's possible in baseball, but you just get the feeling from this bunch. You know, when you look at John Lackey on the mound, you just want to throw up your hands or throw something at your television set. It's so frustrating. And I think the other part of the equation here is that how can you root against Tampa Bay?
I mean,
that's like rooting against Bambi's mother. I mean, we're the big, bad guy here, and, you know, I don't know.
Tim McCarney, rooting against Tampa Bay means rooting for the New York Yankees. I mean, that's the only reason I can come up with not to root for against Tampa Bay.
Right. I think I'm genetically coded that I can't root for anyone except the Red Sox. However, I did say, and I was very sincere, after 2004, I did speak to some of my friends who are Chicago Cubs fans, and I did say, with all sincerity, if the Red Sox were ever in the World Series against the Cubs, it wouldn't bother me if the Cubs won, simply so you could experience experience what I experienced, because it's inexplicable, it's indescribable, and I wanted to share a little of that with them. So that might be an occasion where I could see myself not rooting for them. But right now, we have our magic number is 3, and we've got 3 games left. So we're in the driver's seat. We're in control of our own destiny.
Hmm. Let's take a couple more calls. Brian is calling from Framingham. Hi, Brian. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Very well.
One thing that I'd like to add is, you know, I think every year that, you know, during the fall or the imminent downfall for the Red Sox, is that it seems like the Red Sox Nation turns in on itself and implodes a little bit. And I think that, you know, for everyone who's coded, and I like them, whoever it was that said that they were genetically coded, that they don't lose sight of rooting and cheering on for the Red Sox no matter what. Having said that, though, the buildup this year was absolutely monstrous, in all intentions of the word. And I think what DOF seen and a lot of the administration are realizing is that there's such a fine line between chemistry and professionalism in a successful team.
All right, Brian, we really appreciate your call. Thanks so much. I want to move on to a couple of other calls. Let's go to Jan, who's calling from Revere. Hi, Jan.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Very
long time
well,
no
yeah.
talk to. Anyway, as a longtime Red Sox fan, I want to tell you I'm completely ecstatic. I am so happy to see this happen.
Tell me why. Tell us why, Jan.
Well, first off, okay, there are just so many bandwagon fans and pink hat fans that
God, help
people
us.
Like me who stuck through them for thick and with thin. We've been pushed out. We're no longer part of Red Sox Nation.
I see. So you think a few some hard times and getting us back to sort of our roots is going to shake those sort of sunny day bandwagon fans off, essentially.
Shake the sunny day bandwagon fans off, you know, and maybe once that happens, we can start, you know, turning some other things that are used to be Boston back into Boston. But, yeah, I'm at least looking forward to the fact that maybe if they fall apart now, I'll get a chance to actually get a seat at Fenway Park next year.
All right, Jan, we appreciate it. What do you, Tom Whalen, what do you hear in Jan's call? You responded in particular to her comment about the pink hats.
Yeah, I think that just it's so wishful thinking, too, to want to come back. But I think the pink hats thing is just a non-argument. I mean, the Red Sox, when it comes down to their entertainment, folks, yeah. Get a life. I mean, it's like the Bruins and the Patriots. I'm old enough to say that now. I lived through Bucky Dent and, you know, so forth. And, you know, it just doesn't make any sense to me. You know, we spend over $100 a ticket and, you know, we're supposed to be 24/7 following the Red Sox. I just don't buy it anymore. It doesn't make any sense.
Tim McCartney, let me throw an idea out at you. And first of all, I want to encourage our listeners to keep calling 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. We're talking with Tom Whalen and Tim McCartney about this current Red Sox swoon and what it says about us, our region, and this team. Tim McCartney, an idea that I wanted to throw at you is it's been said that what doesn't kill you can make you stronger. So let's just say they manage to, you know, eke out a couple of victories over Baltimore in the next 3 days, which doesn't seem beyond the realm of possibility. They're in the playoffs. It's a fresh start. In some way, can they benefit from this, you know, this pressure cooker that they've been through?
I think they could. I think if you think back to some of their playoff appearances, some of the more wretched post-1986 playoff appearances, 1988, 1990, 1995, made the playoffs, did not win a single game. So we were almost accustomed to them. Or if they happen to eke into the playoffs, then they're sure to collapse. And that was sort of the stigma attached to them in the 90s. I think if they're going to do their September swoon now and turn it around in October, I'm fine with that. If last night's game can't get them fired up, then perhaps nothing will. I think last night was a great win at the zero hour, 14th inning. If that doesn't get them charged up and ready to roll through a team that was essentially mathematically eliminated a month into the season, then I don't think anything will.
Last night's game, too, it's worthy, Tom Whalen, just to mention it briefly, 7 innings of no run relief pitching, a winning home run in the 14th inning like that. I mean, it was quite a game.
It was a great game, and you know, it does give hope to people that maybe they have some juice to make it late into October. But the thing is, though, they expended almost too much pitching last night and over the weekend, that the bullpen is kind of shot. So I wonder just how, you know, their arms are going to hold up in this final series against Baltimore.
Let's go to Barbara, who's calling from Weston. Hi, Barbara.
Hi there. I'm a big Red Sox fan, and baseball sort of religion in my house. And what I'd really like to hear the experts talk a little bit more about is what role injuries have played this year. I think Clay Buchholz being out of the rotation is huge. I think Euglis being hurt on and off is huge. And I think that has really hurt the psyche of the team a lot.
Tim McCarney, talk about those injuries that Barbara just brought up. They did add up to quite a hit.
I think particularly the Buchholz injury, that was really something that we're still feeling the effects of. And now they say there's the possibility of him coming back for the playoffs, at least on a short leash, and that could be just what they need to push them through. You know, the injuries last year was almost a complete washout because of the injuries, but if you think back, they still made it interesting last year. I believe it was up until like the last week of the season, we actually had a chance to make the playoffs, despite the injuries that were almost comical in nature, because pretty much everyone except the guy who delivers the mail to the locker rooms came down with some sort of crippling injury. But to the caller's point, yeah, I think that's something too. Euclid, you know, we might be getting to the point where we have to admit that he's not a guy who can stay healthy for an entire season. But particularly the Buchholz injury, I think that's the one that hurt them the most. And if we can get him back even for a little bit in October, who knows what could happen.
Let's try to get one more call in here. Andrew is calling from Lowell. Hi, Andrew. You're on the air.
Hello there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Well, everybody's already spoken about the size of the ulcer that's being created in every Red Sox fan's stomach right now. And a little bit, of course, on why this collapse has happened. I'm curious to see the perspective of your guests on whether this collapse might be attributed to management at all, or if it is more of a motivation issue or injury issue. And I'll take my answer off the air.
Thank Andrew, you. Thanks for the call. Tom Whalen, we only have about 30 seconds left or so, but respond to Andrew. Question about
I'd throw
management.
The team management under the bus. You can't blame Tito Francona because, you know, they gave him the roster, and, I mean, it's just not clicking.
Hmm. And Tim McCarney, final word from you on management. If this swoon continues, they don't get into the playoffs, are we going to see some kind of major shakeup? Would you expect that?
I would expect it. I don't know if that's the right answer, but I would almost expect it. But you know what? I'm counting on 3 wins against Baltimore and a trip to the playoffs.
So you're still predicting their chances are good at getting into the playoffs.
I'm there till they lose or the math tells me otherwise. You got to ride it to the end.
All right, Tim McCarney, thank you so much for joining us today. That's Tim McCarney. He's co-founder and writer for the blog SurvivingGrady.com. He provided our note of optimism. Tom Whalen, thank you so much for joining
thank
us.
Thank you.
Tom Whalen is associate professor of social studies at Boston University. He's also author of When the Red Sox Rule, Baseball's First Dynasty. Well, the story continues tonight. The Red Sox play the Orioles in Baltimore. The Rays take on the Yankees in Tampa Bay. So stay tuned. And stay... And stay with us. Coming up next, author Nicholson Baker on the challenges of writing about sex. I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.